What's happening, team? Welcome to the Type 1 Movement Podcast, where I'm going to be sharing with you my tips, tricks, and stories to help you lead the healthiest life possible as a Type 1 diabetic. I am your host, Type 1 Tom. Just a quick disclaimer, any advice that I give will not overpower your medical professional, so please consult with them first if you're thinking of making any changes. Welcome to this episode of the Type 1 Movement Podcast. Now, as always, I want to thank you for tuning in, for listening as well. So in this episode, I think I wanted to just go into a bit of the history of the treatment of type 1 diabetes and how it's progressed over the years, and obviously how it impacts how we treat it today. Because I think we can take it for granted sometimes, all the technology and shit that we've got access to today. But years ago, we never had that. Yeah, it was scary years ago is what I'm going to go into now. I've got a few dates of stuff, but this is going to be more of my views and my understanding of it. So if you are listening to this or watching this and you've got anything that you want to add, feel free to drop me a DM. I know there's a lot of people that are older than me, that have had diabetes longer than me, that also know how it was treated years ago and stuff like that. So I think it's interesting to know this shit, right? So yeah, it's not going to be a super long one, but I'm just going to take you through kind of like a timeline of how it's changed over the years. So I think if you're a type 1, you should know, or if not, you're going to know now, how insulin was discovered. I mean, insulin was discovered in, I think the date was 1921, by Dr. Frederick Banting and Charles Best. You'll know if we got World Diabetes Day. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's Dr. Frederick Banting's birthday, and that's why we have World Diabetes Day. But before they discovered insulin, them two mega guys, right? Else we all won't be here today. But before the discovery of insulin, we were pretty much doomed. Even if we was on a strict diet and that, our life expectancy was no more than 3 or 4 years. 3 or 4 years, us as type 1s were given to live before the discovery of insulin. And I bet it was even shorter than that. We know if we go into DKA, diabetic ketoacidosis, how potent that is for us. And obviously, if we didn't have insulin, we'd die. And you can imagine back then, sort of before the discovery of insulin, people being diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, there was no insulin, they didn't really know what it was, and they was probably all going into DKA and dropping dead, weren't they, unfortunately. The discovery of insulin was in 1921. I think, if I'm not mistaken at the time, it was the tests and shit was run on dogs, run on some animals, predominantly dogs and things like that. And from the story that I've seen, I think a bloke or a lad come into them and had his glucose in it was 27 or 30 moles or something like that, pretty high, lost a load of weight, and they obviously found this insulin, and that's when the first insulin injection was given. And I think I've spoke to a couple of people that, not from back then, but I think at the time, obviously, I think around the first treatment of diabetes was just in a vial and an insulin needle, and you had to draw a certain amount out, and obviously I bet they weren't carb counting and shit then. So you had to draw a certain amount out and obviously inject yourself with it. There was no pens, there was no pumps, there was nothing like that. And it wasn't until the 1970s and 1980s that blood glucose readers and strips and stuff like that, your finger pricks, they actually become available to us as type 1 diabetics. So I take it before then, insulin was around, but imagine not being able to test your glucose and just having to give yourself a certain amount of insulin and not knowing about insulin to carb ratios and stuff like that. That'd be absolutely crazy, wouldn't it? And I think at the time, I'm holding up my fingers now on these lives, but the needles were huge. From what I can understand, I've spoken to a couple of people, the injections and the needles were huge. But that was years ago, that was how insulin was discovered and stuff like that, and a little bit of a history there. And then obviously later on, I'm not sure on the dates on this, but then it come into our pens were available with insulin. And I think the first part, it was mixed, it was pre-mixed, so it was slow acting and long and rapid acting sort of thing, or quick acting. And I think then, like, it was more you had to give yourself, like, I think it was 2 or 3 injections a day, and you had to live your life and eat around that, if that makes sense. So it was like, I bet it was a certain amount of carbs you had to eat, correct me if I'm wrong on this, because obviously I didn't have this treatment, it was later for me, but I know some people have gone back to this as well, I'm not sure why, but yeah, around the first time it was a mix, so it was a mix of rapid acting or long lasting and quick acting sort of insulins, and I think it was give yourself a couple of injections a day, and you eat probably a certain amount of carbs to cover that insulin. And I'm guessing if you didn't eat that amount of carbs, you'll possibly drop low. So you had to run your life around your insulin injections and your food and stuff like that. How the hell people managed to exercise around that, I will never know. I bet that was super fucking complex and complicated to try and work out. But yeah, then I think after then, it was the basal bolus thing that we had in that a lot of us were started on. I know I was, so it was a certain amount of, you know, your background, your long-lasting insulin, your basal insulin at night, or a split dose and stuff like that, and then your rapid acting that you had with food. And I think that's when we started to get a bit more leeway, if you like, a bit more free living as type ones, because we know we could just have that 1 or 2 insulin shots, so it should trickle in the background, which should obviously mimic a normal, well, as normal as human pancreas. And then we had that rapid acting that we could have with food or for corrections and stuff like that. And I think it's from around that time as well that we obviously have finger pricks, but then things like Dexcom, CGMs, Libras started to come in a little bit. Not super popular then, they weren't. Obviously, a lot of people still don't use them now, but they wasn't super popular, so it was still a case of pricking your finger. You didn't have trend arrows. You couldn't see which direction your blood glucose was moving in. I struggled to get those words out. You couldn't see the direction your glucose was moving in because it was just finger pricks, right? But I think that did start to, when that come in, it started to open up a few more doors and a few more, let us live better as type 1 diabetics, right? And then especially when Dexcoms and stuff like that started to come in, that was like a godsend for us as type 1 diabetics, right? Obviously, they're still not as accurate, unfortunately, as finger pricks. But yeah, and then after, I don't know the dates on this, but obviously after that, I think the first insulin pump was discovered before that. And when I've looked at pictures in the book that I've got, Think Like a Pancreas book, the first insulin pump was fucking huge, man. Like, it was huge. Like, from the pictures that I've seen, it's crazy. But obviously, like, they started messing around with that and understanding that, hey, we can get this to give the basal rate, the background insulin, that also program it to certain times of the day and, you know, put people's insulin to carb ratios in it and stuff like that. Well, I don't know if the first one did that, but I know it probably give that background insulin, and then obviously the bolus that you have with meals and for corrections. So I think pumps then started to come more popular. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Medtronic were the first company to create an insulin pump. And that just allowed us for even more leeway. So we obviously had the pens of mixed insulin to start with, when you kind of had to live your life around diabetes and your food timings and your meal timings, eat every few hours, all that sort of shit. And then we got a bit more leeway through the different types of insulin, you know, your background, like your Lantuses, glargine, stuff like that, and then your rapid acting and things like that. We started to get a bit more leeway in how we live our lives from then. And then obviously at this time we had the insulin pump started to come out and stuff, which I'm on now. And over the years, like, how you test has changed. So like I said, we've got the Dexcoms, we've got the Freestyle Libras, CGMs and stuff. So like, I'm at the point with my technology now, a lot of yous are, is I'm on an insulin pump and I've also got the Freestyle Libra, but the Myo stuck over it, so it turns it into a CGM. So I've got a lot of, if you're on that treatment, the same if you're on pens really, when I was on pens and finger pricks, I had a lot of leeway in managing my diabetes, but even more so now I'm on a pump, I can really dial in, and you guys that are on pumps will understand this. I can really dial in, I can really see my data through my Libra and when I've had Dexcoms in the past and stuff like that. And it's just give us so much scope for managing our diabetes and living life how we want to. But then bring us up to date now, we've actually got, which is crazy, this, like, things that will mimic the human pancreas. So we've got insulin pumps now, which have basal IQ or auto mode and stuff like that, some of them call it. So it basically, it links to, like, a Dexcom, or some of them have their own CGMs, but I think the best one's linked to Dexcom. And that basically, over time, builds up an algorithm and does your background insulin, your basal rate for you. It kind of like knows if you're going high, it needs to put a little bit more in, or if you're going low, it needs to suspend for a little bit. So that's where we've come up to date. And obviously, like, these beta cell transplants and things that, you know, doctors and things like that are working on to try and get our pancreases to work normal again. But I know, I think if I'm not mistaken, like, pancreatic transplants for us are quite low because there's a chance that our body will just attack it again, right? But I think where we're at to date with these CGMs speaking to insulin pumps and vice versa and stuff is getting crazy. But if you think back all those years ago when we were, our life expectancy once we were diagnosed was no more than 3 or 4 years, because obviously, like, it mustn't have been carb counting, it was just a shot of insulin and stuff. And how far treatment for us as type 1s actually come, it's crazy when you think back, because we just, like, dial up on our pump or, you know, check our phones for our blood glucose and pricking our fingers and, you know, put a shot of insulin in. Like, it's crazy how far it's actually come. And I think we can bypass that sometimes to think years ago we wouldn't have really lived that long. But now the way that things have changed, and even crazier, like the way that it's going with, you know, your basal IQ and you, like I say, your CGM speaking to your pumps and vice versa, it's crazy. It just gives us so much hope and so much scope as well for improvements on things. Things are always looking up, aren't they? And I know it's hard for us at times, but if you think the treatment over the years, going back years ago, we would have really fucking struggled. But now I know it's still a struggle, but with technology progressing and stuff like that, it's mega, isn't it? But there's one thing that I do want to say, like, technology is progressing, but us as type ones, we still need to have this knowledge and this understanding of the condition and be able to carb count and know our ratios and know how to make adjustments on the fly, if you like, because it's never an exact science. And as good as this technology is, excuse me, just having a drink there, and a dry mouth, dry throat. As good as this technology is, it's still dependent on us. Like, if you're having insulin injections and you're pricking your finger, you still need to know certain calculations. Even if you're on an insulin pump, you still need to be able to set your rates up. Even if you've got a CGM that speaks to your insulin pump and does some of the, you know, the insulin dosages for you, you still need to have an understanding of what's going to go on with your blood glucose, like, especially around exercise or certain times of the day. You still need to understand this shit. Like, I don't think yet there's not been anything created where we can just not have to worry about carb counting, what we eat, when we exercise, how much insulin we're giving. There's nothing that takes it over from us completely. So it's always good to keep brushing up on your skills, learning about the condition, learning about yourself and kind of what works for you and shit like that as well, and just taking care of yourself. So yeah, as good as technology is, it's still down to us. It's still down to you as a type 1 diabetic to, like, understand this shit at the end of the day. So, but yeah, like I say, it wasn't going to be a long one, this, pretty much at the end. Quick recap of obviously how insulin was discovered by Dr. Frederick Banting and Charles Best in 1921. And before that, we were pretty much doomed. Even on strict diets and stuff like that, we could last no more than like 3 or 4 years. And then in the 70s, 1970s and 80s, blood glucose readers and strips and like that, finger pricks become available to us. And since then, it's just progressed so much. Like, so that you guys know the technology that we have to date and how our life expectancy is now. It's more than 3 to 4 years, right? Like, I know I've been type 1 diabetic for 13 years. I'm still here. So it's definitely more than 3 or 4 years. And we're heading in the right direction. We're only getting better with technology. But yeah, at the end of the day, still, you need to take this, do you know what I mean? Like, type 1 diabetes by the balls and take charge of it. Like I always say, it, like, diabetes choosers, don't like saying victims. We're not a victim. Yeah, we're not a victim, but it chooses people, and it only chooses the strongest of people, right? And we're all fighting the good fight each and every day. dancing with diabetes. You know what I mean, we're making mistakes, we're learning from it, and we just got to keep on battling through each day. But yeah, gang, that's been a little history of type 1 diabetes for you. If you've known some of that stuff, great. If not, hopefully it's been a little bit of a lesson for you. I'm always learning about this shit as well. You know what I mean? I'm super intrigued to know how treatments have come over the years, and how we can keep advancing on the treatments and stuff like that, and how we can keep bettering ourselves. So yeah, as I always say on these podcasts, in the show notes, links below, there's a load of links. There's a link to my free ebook. There's a link to my free Facebook group, and also a link to my 30-day blood glucose management system program, which is basically where I've designed this specifically for type 1 diabetics who want to improve their knowledge on diabetes, improve their blood glucose control over the next 30 days in just 30 days. And that might sound like a big statement, but I've got loads of client testimonials all over my Instagram, over my Facebook and stuff like that, of who I've actually helped who've completed this program and got amazing results from it. So if you're interested in that, just DM me with the word 30 days, or if you're listening to this podcast, you can always click the application link in the show notes below. All the links for everything I've mentioned are there. But yeah, guys, I'd be highly appreciative if you could screenshot this podcast, whatever you're listening to it on the platform you're listening to it on, and share it on your Instagram and your stories, on your profiles, on your pages if you can, and just tag me at type1_Tom so I can say a big thank you to you, and I can just, you know, reach out. It's going to help me reach more type 1 diabetics and help them out and educate them and interact and connect with them, because that's a big thing in the type 1 sort of community, is actually having a fucking community, right? It's actually being able to speak to other type 1s and people who get it, so you don't feel alone. Yeah, so if you could do that, I'd highly appreciate that. I'd be super, super grateful. And yeah, as always, gang, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to listen. And I will catch you in the next episode. Take it easy. Have a good one.